Oh, that's right. How you doing here this afternoon? Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with the worldwide wanderer himself. Yes, the man that broke the burpee record in a big way. Sitting right across the table from me is Cameron Dorn. And before I let him say anything, I want to read. He wrote an article. He wrote an article about burpee world record holder reflects on. And I like this part in here, Cameron. It says, after breaking the 7,684 mark, it was completely mental. A friend of mine named Roy Lemons literally took over thinking for me.
Seriously?
Scary. Demanded in militarist fashion how many burpees I would do for each set. My mind was mush. My knuckles and hands had no skin left on, and I was down to 12 pounds from my starting weight. The drive was still inside me. There was no way that I was going to let everyone, including myself, down by only doing 9,000 burpees. The darkest moment came when my left eyeball became stuck, looking out to the side when my sodium level dropped so much the hydration in my eyes was depleted. Talk about dry eyes. I then drank half a jar of pickle juice, and after about 10 minutes, I returned to normal, thank goodness. Oh, my God, Becky. How you doing today, Cameron Dorn?
Doing a lot better than then.
That was an awesome, but, you know, I know one of the things that really impressed you was how much Greenwood, the town, the area, supported you in such a big way.
Totally. That took place back in May. That's almost 6 months ago now.
Right.
I had just gotten to town 4 months before, so. And my cross country team, I'm big on small town does not mean small opportunity.
Right.
You know, that's what I always say.
Suitcase of courage.
Suitcase of courage. That's
yes.
The calling card.
Right.
You got it. So small town doesn't mean small opportunity. I go and help out with the cross country team.
In Ware Shoals.
Ware Shoals. Ware Shoals, the school's been around since 1926. In 2013, they actually just got their first cross country team. Imagine that.
It's a little bit behind, isn't it?
Right.
Yes.
So then the kids didn't have the proper footwear. Mm-hmm. You know, the proper footwear is everything. Establishing a footing in life
right.
is everything. If you can't get a footing in life, you're going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids were out there running in shoes that could hurt their feet. So yes, great sport, but if you're in eighth grade and you get your feet hurt, you can't run the rest of your life. So I was like, got to do a fundraiser. Somehow, I mean, I used to do burpees all the time when I was in sales, working with Farmwood Sales. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the world record for burpees are. And I looked it up and went after that. And then that was the avenue for the fundraiser. And like you said, Greenwood, the whole community really got behind it.
That's right. And you raised over $10,000.
Right.
Yeah. And it was quite actually entertaining. They had you on Greenwood Calendar. You could watch it streaming on the computer.
Right.
You could stop on by and see you just working like crazy, taking little breaks. I love the fact that you were playing Rocky.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you had all the motivation going all the way around. And then you had all your food down there on the peanut butter and the
Coca-Cola.
Spaghetti, but just spaghetti down there. Yeah.
Because I needed every ounce of that. You know, I said before, I think I told the gentleman from the reporter that Greenwood, the community's done their part, right? $10,000 for 10,000 burpees. Now
right.
It's time for me to do my part.
Exactly.
But the motivation, yes, you can have the strongest inner motivation, but you're going to tire out.
Right.
And once the record's completed, the Guinness World Record was done at 7,685.
Right.
And I had the 12-hour record as well back at 5,000 and knocked that one out. I mean, I really then just had to dig deep because you're walking into the unknown so much.
And you'd never done that many burpees.
Of course
not. No, it's not. Because
right.
you were just doing practice things, but you weren't actually doing how many burpees
right.
can I do.
Because
right.
that's pretty much suicide for your body.
Right.
I mean, I woke up the next day and I felt like I was 95. Everything creaked.
How long did it take you to recover?
Every day I lost 10 years, you know, so I'm getting 95, 85, 75.
So you're moving backwards to your actual age.
I finally got back to 25, you know, a
wow.
week later.
A week later. Well, I think it was tremendous. Now, not only did you donate money to Ware Shoals Cross Country, you also, because this was part of the plan, was to go down to Peru
right.
and help out down there. Tell us about that.
Correct. So part of the thing, too, was linking another small school, right, Peru, with Ware Shoals. Like, what's the link? What's something we could draw parallels there? Because I always travel and climb or do something, but I hate to go to a location and just be a tourist. I'm so over that.
So over that.
So the kids down there in Peru, my climbing partner's been down there before, and he's like, Cameron, those kids have literally nothing. You know, if they have a toothbrush and they mm-hmm. take it home, their parents will take it, or they'll just use it communally. Right. So, you know, what $100 here can do for a kid, get you some new running shoes, right?
Right.
$100 can change a whole life down there. Academic materials for a year, school supplies, we got clothes for them, 55 kids, new clothing, new academic materials for a whole year at this school called Seeds of Hope. Raised enough money as well to contact another school when I was down there climbing called Somilias de Vidia. And that school, the kids had nowhere to play. So we got a little plot of land, built a two-story tower of power by the Suitcase of Courage, and the kids are out there rope climbing, and, you know, that's 25 more kids affected.
How does that make you feel, Cameron?
You know, I think everyone should just do stuff like that. You know, I mean, that's just the way I am. I believe in utilitarianism for the greater good.
Right.
I just feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be great, though, once you had that built, and to stand back and watch the kids play.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that had to be one of the greatest feelings ever.
It feels a lot better because I raced so long for myself with triathlon. You know, mm-hmm. it's cool getting a trophy, or it's cool getting a world record. But the whole purpose behind this was a fundraiser. And that's exactly what it was. It brought funds in, and it went to the right places.
Absolutely. Well, that is so cool. Now, when we come back after we hear a word from our sponsors, we had a tough time getting him on the radio, folks, because this man is out there traveling. He just got back from Las Vegas, baby. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about his trip down there in the Amazon, Peru, etc. Understand he ate worms and he wrestled an alligator. I mean, geez, gosh, Cameron, does it ever stop?
No.
All right. Hey, we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We are with Cameron Dorn, the world traveler. Have you traveled the whole world, or have you still avenues left to travel, Cameron?
I've not been to Antarctica.
That's the only place that's actually left. Well, you've got plenty of time. Any place else you haven't been?
Yeah, plenty of countries, you know. Yeah.
But you're not going to the Middle East, are you?
I'm not into that right now.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, one of the things that you did do on this Peru trip, tell us a little bit about that. Now, you did a burpee from where?
Right. The world's highest burpee.
The world's highest burpee.
That's another world record. Guinness doesn't officially have that one, so this is another one called the record setter. A burpee. We did 5 burpees at 20,800 feet.
Now, what's that like in comparison to how many burpees is that would you have to do to get the same type of feeling on regular?
2. Or down low.
Down on sea level or whatever, regular
level.
It's
like maximum effort. The way it's 38% oxygen compared to what we're breathing.
Wow.
Now.
Okay.
So your first exertion's not that bad, but then it's catching your breath.
Right.
So the first one didn't feel bad, but then you stand up to breathe again, you're like, it seems like you're breathing forever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you had asthma or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Severe asthma.
Severe asthma. So you did 5 of them.
5 of them.
5 of them. Okay. So that was at the heights. Now, but I understand, did you go down the Amazon here too?
We did. The purpose of that trip was totally climbing. I want to work my way up and climb big mountains in Nepal. 2 years ago, I took a trip around the world, and now I'm trying to stand on top of it.
Right.
Hence Mount Everest.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. So the highest mountains outside, it's higher down in La Cordillera Blanca, where we climbed in Peru. It's higher than Mount McKinley, a.k.a. Denali.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're the highest mountains in the world outside of the Himalayas.
Okay.
So that was the reason to go down there. Highly technical. We went down there for 40 days and just climbed.
Was that also 40 nights?
Right. 40-something, you know,
yeah,
not
okay,
40.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay, yeah. All right. Yeah,
and then
ahead.
The weather, like, the climbing, there's no doubt about it. It's a dangerous sport. If the weather's not keen on you climbing, or it's not advantageous to climbing,
right,
don't climb. So then I had another 30 or so days. So I was like, oh, I've never seen Machu Picchu. I've never been to the Amazon. So we all went separate ways, my the climate partners. And I went to the Amazon, and I found this, I wanted to take a jungle survival course. So
a jungle survival course.
Jungle
yes.
survival course.
Okay.
I always wanted to swim in the Amazon. That's been on the list. So
okay.
Took a boat out in the middle of the Amazon, a little 5-horsepower boat, jumped in. Then we went to the side and they pulled a fish out that was like 160 pounds. I got the video of it. It's called a bullfish. It was crazy. And then went in the jungle with just a machete, a little backpack, and we made our own huts. We caught our own food and had a great time.
Does it make you appreciate being back here in America?
The honest answer on that, it makes me feel very, let's say, spoiled.
Spoiled?
Right.
Spoiled.
I love being back, but I just don't, I'm not a fan of the way of life. You know, I'm a very minimalist person.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I have everything I need with my friends and my clothes on my back and the possessions I have. I'm not trying to collect more of that. I'm trying to collect experiences.
Well, I think you're doing that now,
right,
Cameron.
Right.
You're doing that. Now, on this trip, I understand that didn't you catch an alligator with your bare hands?
I did.
Did I not see that on Facebook?
That is correct.
Okay, what is the deal there?
It was only a 3-foot-long alligator.
Only
wasn't the largest.
Only a 3-foot, yeah, okay.
But once again, if I'm going to catch any, if I'm going to hunt, I will make sure I eat the food.
Right.
So I caught the alligator, and we cooked the alligator and had the alligator whole.
Now, how do you go about catching a 3-foot alligator with your bare hands?
He's in the stream.
Right.
I went to get water, caught it behind the neck, and then that's that.
A real wild man, we can actually say here. But you also, what else did you do? Didn't you eat something else disgusting out there?
Sori. Sori are little like grubs where you cut into the tree with the machete.
Yes.
We pulled about 30 of them out, and we cooked some, but we ate others raw.
Now, curious, did you have a guide or how did this? Yes.
I did. So I was in Iquitos, northern Peru. Trivia fact, largest city in the world, right?
Okay.
Where you can only, like, there's no cars that go to it. You can only fly into it.
Wow.
Then we took a boat downriver about 3 hours to a little small, I don't even know the name of the town. I have to check my diary. And then we got out, and that was that. And just cut through the jungle, literally with a machete, and made our way.
Now, what about language? Any language issues?
No language. My biggest regret, actually, is not learning Spanish properly in high school.
Okay.
Being that my football coach helped teach the Spanish a little bit there, that was probably why I didn't learn Spanish. But I picked up Spanish.
You mean he let you slide a little bit?
We got lucky there.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you spoke Spanish, and that was the language to communicate in. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Any other really interesting experiences while you were there?
Went to the desert, the Atacama Desert, which is the driest desert. Or I went to the Sahara last year. Camped out in the Sahara and it was magical. I always laugh. Las Vegas. We'll talk about Las Vegas. But Las Vegas, you're in the desert and you've got all these man-made things, right?
Right.
The Sahara, I'm out there just in a tent by myself. And that's the way I like it.
Right.
You know? I've stayed in 5-star hotels in Las Vegas for work, but I'm so much happier minimalist out there by myself with a bra.
You know, maybe you can save some money there when you travel. When you're traveling, you can just go pitch a tent.
Right. That's my whole travel plan. You know, that's a strategy. But the Atacama, saw the desert, actually ran a marathon in the desert, went out and ran 28 miles on my own with a little backpack. That was pretty awesome.
You know, I love sitting down and talking to Cameron because the one thing he does is make you realize that he's really alive, and sometimes I think I am, and then I think, well, maybe not. You know, you do such great, interesting things, and I know that through doing all these interesting things, you've actually landed yourself a pretty good job.
Right,
yeah,
right.
What are you going to be doing?
So I've worked with Team Katoof for the longest. They've been a great sponsor of mine. And we've worked with corporate wellness when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of got me. I went to graduate school, as you know, overseas. And I wrote my dissertation on employee wellness as it relates to employer benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always seen the employee benefits side of things, not just the employer. My grandfather, he worked in a textile mill. There's no secret the textile mills used up the human capital, right?
Right.
It was just all about production. They didn't care how it got there. Well, now, thankfully, with OSHA and the government coming down on the corporations a little bit, it's not only the government saying, hey, you need to care for your employees, but the employers are starting to say, hey, this is our strongest resource, our human capital.
Sure.
So that's where I come in, and I do corporate wellness solutions. That can be anywhere from under the sun. I call them industrial athletes. So if someone's out there moving a heavy rated position, right, he's doing very dynamic moves that puts him at risk. He's much like a pro athlete. He needs to warm up before he does those moves. So I write a kinesiology report on what exactly is happening to him, and then a strengthening and stretching exercise that takes about 4 minutes that they do before they get on shift that helps alleviate some of that risk.
So when they do go to work, the employer can be less concerned about being somebody being hurt because they weren't properly warmed up and ready to work.
Correct.
That's pretty awesome. Now, I understand you're going to be doing this for Fuji in a big way. Not only, I mean, you started here in Greenwood, but now you're going to, you got, what, 15 different places?
Right, around that, over the country. So Fujifilm, the company holdings out of New York, picked it up, and they liked what was going on at their largest campus right here in Greenwood. Like, once again, we're not the largest town, small town, you know.
Right.
Does not mean small opportunity. And before I left for Peru, we signed a contract saying for the next 3 years, hey, Suitcase of Courage, my business that I started and founded, is going to be working with the Fujifilm all over the USA.
Wow. You'll probably end up in Japan, too. Hey, I tell you what, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? I tell you what, having a fascinating conversation here with Cameron Dorn. He has his suitcase of courage, and he is out there doing amazing things. I think a lot of things that people sit back and go, wow, that's really cool. Thank goodness Cameron's doing it instead of me. But you know what? It is neat to know somebody who is out there doing things. Plus, whenever you do something, you're making a difference in somebody else's life. And I think that's pretty darn cool. Right. I mean, just the what you did with the burpees. I mean, you put your body through hell.
Yep.
And you were able to survive. And you said you're working your way back to 25 again.
Right.
Yeah, it takes a lot to do that. But if that wasn't enough for you, you decided to sign up for the Tough Mudder?
World's Toughest Mudder. That came around. It was actually me and a friend of mine. And I was in Peru, and he was like, hey, we haven't hung out in a long time. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. What can we do? You ever been to Las Vegas? No. There's a 24-hour obstacle course race there.
Yeah.
Done. So we signed up 2 months before.
2 months before.
Right.
Now, you know, reading over this stuff about the Toughest Mudder contest, it says you really shouldn't do it that way. You need to really get yourself in super shape. And if you're not, I think it says you should go log on to Bed Bath & Beyond and just be cozy in your comforter.
I actually think it does say that.
It does. I read it in here, yes.
Yeah, I missed that.
You would have looked at Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't think so, Cameron.
No.
But tell us about this. Now, this contest, tell us, for those that don't know about it, I mean, they have electroshock therapy. They have the electric eel, the Berlin Wall, the boa constrictor.
Right.
I mean, this is like nothing else you have ever seen, folks. Tell us about it.
I'll admit, coming into it, that I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid as much, right? You see a lot of, maybe it'd be some CrossFit. A lot of people are into that, you know, or Iron Man. Everyone has their own following.
Right.
And everyone thinks their thing is the next best thing to sliced bread, right?
Right.
Same thing here. So going up to it, I was like, okay, this won't be that bad. 24 hours, just pace yourself.
Right.
Well, the thing about it is it's running the whole time, which is okay.
Right.
But then they had a 37-foot cliff you had to jump off of into the water. You're going over 30 miles an hour. You go in, it's like you're just getting slapped. And along that course, they had 25 obstacles in that 5 miles.
Right.
They had one obstacle called the birthing canal.
Birthing
canal, right?
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So it's plastic on the bottom, okay? And you have to lie down. Then on top, they have about 300 pounds of water, and you have to slide through with it pressing down on your chest and you to the ground.
Hence the birthing canal.
So you can only breathe to the left or to the right because there's so much pressure that just pushes your face straight down, and you have to slide through pulling yourself.
So, and what about this electric shock now? I mean, there was where you'd be going through the on the ground and everything, and they'd have electrical wires actually hanging over you, didn't they?
Being it was in Vegas, of course, they're going to have an obstacle called the Gambler.
Yes.
And it has dice.
Dice?
Second lap around, I rolled a 6. That was electric shock therapy. So then they have mounds you have to climb up and over.
Right.
But the wires are hanging over the mounds.
Right.
Once again, underestimated. I was like, this won't be that bad. You know, everybody's like got a little shock, a static shock here. That was not a static shock. That was a jolt of just sheer death.
Yeah. What did you say, 10,000
volts? 10,000 volts. He had a gentleman with an AED right there to the right, just laughing. Yeah. I got shocked in my backside and my neck.
Wow. And then, let's see, and you had to go through the Arctic enema.
Right.
Now, what is the Arctic enema?
So, they did not have, the water there was like 50 degrees.
Right.
So, you had to go underneath the tent tunnels is what they made into the Arctic enema. It was jumping into the water. Like, one was a trapeze. Like, you had a 15-foot platform, trapeze bar. So, you jump off onto this trapeze bar. Your hands are wet, muddy. You know, you're cold. Then, off that trapeze bar, you have to swing forward. Jump off the trapeze bar while swinging. Tag a bell.
Tag a bell?
Yeah, if you don't ring the bell, then you got to get a center block and go run for a quarter mile as your penalty. So the first time I go up and tag the bell, I go all in, of course, right?
Right.
Well, I go down and my face hits the, not the ground, but the water first. Once again, just beating you up. But the camaraderie and the community, I will say that about that.
Yes.
The old adage, when the body suffers, the mind flourishes. I'm a huge believer in that.
Okay.
Everyone helping the Berlin walls, 10-foot walls, everyone lifting each other up over the top.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Out there, there was no billionaire. Everyone was equal. Right?
Yes. Okay.
People helping people.
Now, how many people were competing in this
1,200.
One? 1,200?
1,200.
So you were one of 1,200?
Correct.
Okay. But is it individual or do you work in teams?
Individual.
Individual.
Right. But everyone works as a team. There's a sloped wall that's 13 foot high.
Right.
Some might see it on American Ninja Warrior.
Right.
Those guys only have to do it once. Every lap we had to go up that, and they had mud on it, and you'd slip. One time I was at the top, and I missed the grip, and people turn around to help you.
Right.
So that actually helps out a little bit.
Right.
But I missed the grip of their hands, slide down the entire wall, and then go back at it again.
So did you get to eat during this 24 hours?
You run through pits. The pit. Yeah, every 5 miles. When you're out there, it goes through the night, of course. It starts at 10 a.m., goes through the night. You're out there, you got a headlamp on. You're in the desert. A dust storm came up, 30-mile-an-hour winds. They have no food for you. They have water halfway through. That's it.
Water?
That's it.
So you you definitely put your body through it again.
All right, and I can't wait to put it through it once more.
Are you going to do it again?
I am. As soon as it opens up this time, I'm signing up and I'm taking it serious.
Okay.
I want to go back.
And you're going to be... preparing your body and preparing yourself for this.
Correct.
Now, how did you do in this challenge?
Well, I got 45 miles in 12 hours, and I ran up to 17th place. First one ever.
Wow.
Well, then it got cold.
Right.
And I didn't bring it. They said that wetsuits weren't mandatory, but I didn't have a full wetsuit on.
Right.
I just had compression socks and shorts.
Right.
So the lady's like, you can't go out again. So she turned me around, and my headlamp wasn't working. So I had to wait till the daytime to get back out there. But I ended up like 200th. I did 50 miles, 500 obstacles.
Why do people do this, Cameron? You had 1,200 people out there. Why were some of them out there to do this? I mean, I understand. But
right.
Why other people would do this?
The same reason as me.
Just
to go out there and see what you can handle. To walk into the unknown, you answer those questions you never knew were there in the first place.
What kind of backgrounds were some of these people from?
I mean, they were Navy SEALs, a lot.
Okay, well, Navy
military.
SEALs. Okay,
yeah.
Military.
One
okay.
lady, it was actually a lady out there, and she had a prosthetic on.
A leg, okay.
Right, prosthetic leg was out there competing.
Wow.
So.
All right, so there were all walks of life
all
out there.
All walks of life, yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Correct.
Okay. All right, and what does the winner get out of
$10,000. $10,000. Which is not that much money.
No, it's not.
But... it was just more about being out there and the camaraderie and suffering. So,
now, how long did this last?
24 hours.
But did you just go for 24 hours or did you go out there? Did you have to have any preparation?
You had to set up a tent and all that.
Okay. But, a tent?
Yeah. And food.
So you were out in a tent and killing yourself going through this. Wow. Okay. I'm not going to say anything. I'm afraid I might say anything. But they do, don't they have some charity affiliations?
And Wounded Warrior Project. Yeah. I think a certain percentage of the funds, of course, go to that.
Yeah, Hope for Heroes in the United Kingdom and Legacy in Australia.
Right.
So, that is... Now, how much did it cost to do this?
$500.
$500 to hurt yourself.
$500 to learn more about yourself.
All right. You know, though, you know, one of the things that Jeff, when he was in the Army and he was jumping out of planes and everything, and they'd say to him, you know, Jeff, someday you're going to pay a price for this jumping out of planes and everything.
Right.
And now, you know, here he is 70 and he kind of has bad knees and everything. And he goes, I didn't believe him then.
I'm stretching my knee right now.
Yeah. I didn't believe him then. But now he goes, I do understand. So I guess I hope you're taking care of yourself when you're doing these destructive things to your body.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here with Cameron Dorn, Suitcase of Courage. I think it's a suitcase of nutism. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with Cameron Dorn, Suitcase of Courage. You know, you started that Suitcase of Courage just as you had that on a suitcase when you traveled many years. I mean, when you started traveling, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't really anything to begin with.
Yeah. It was kind of just a mantra, you know, when things start hurting, when times get tough.
Yes.
You know, everybody talks about dig deep, but what are we digging into?
Right.
And I'm like, let's dig into the suitcase of courage. And that's how it all came about.
Well, you certainly, over the time that you have been here on the radio with us, you have had some fascinating experiences. And you've shared them with us on the radio, and I think that's great. But, you know, as you look back over all the things that you have done over the last few years, what would you say was probably the thing that you keep going back to in your mind about how awesome it was to do this or, you know, as an experience? I know you keep topping the level, but there's got to be something that you look back and you know, this was pretty cool.
It's funny you bring that up, man. I was just talking, I got a buddy in town from England. He's staying with me. And we're both, he's very successful in life. And we're talking about what keeps us hungry, what keeps us going, right? So if you go into my apartment, you'll see one trophy, right? A little small trophy. And it's a little knight, and it's from England. It's called Hever Castle Triathlon.
Okay.
And in that, that's the childhood home Anne Boleyn. Race probably had 2,000 people in it. And that trophy is second place, right?
Right.
And it's in the guest bathroom.
In the guest bathroom?
Right?
Yes.
But the downstairs bathroom.
Right.
So that's the only trophy you see. And that trophy I lost by 17 seconds to another wave.
Right.
The reason I lost is because I got complacent. I lost, you know, I was on the run. I was in the first of my wave.
Right.
And I just made a joke or two with a volunteer. Hey, I'm from the U.S., you know, playing around. And that reminds me, always stay hungry. Michael Jackson said I'd never keep a trophy case because that's looking in the past.
Right.
For me, looking back, yes, helping the kids out with the burpee thing is awesome. But there's still so much more to come, and I'm a believer in that I never want to stop, look back. I need to get better in that in time when my body is not able to do the things that I want to do. But right now, I don't want to miss a day. I don't want to miss a second. There's so much I can do, much more.
Well, I remember when you were on one time and you were talking about, where were you? You were over in Europe, India. Where were you? Where you were helping the kids and they had nothing. They didn't even have a ball to play with.
Thailand. I was in Thailand, and Mae Sot, it's a hot spot right now. It's picked back up.
Right.
You can't even go there now without risking your life, essentially.
Right. And but you helped out at an orphanage there.
Correct. Built some infrastructure. These kids live out in the barn, one of the most primitive places I've ever lived. Took kids running with me. They had no shoes, not because they wanted to run without shoes, but, you know, they just didn't have them.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember some of the stories and some of the things. And, you know, I don't think that was planned. That just kind of happened along the way.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the neatest things, is to not be so scheduled in your life, in your trips or whatever, that you have the opportunity to open your eyes and see other things.
Right. And so many people, they put out an event. Yeah, it's great. I want to do the world's toughest mudder next year, right? We know that's 360-something days away. But instead of just training for an event, just train for life. Be ready for any situation, any time. That's true adaptability, right?
It is. It is. And I think that that is one of the things in life that we're kind of losing, because we get so entrenched with just trying to survive. And when you have children and family and all this kind of stuff, you can't really let go, but you need to let go sometimes.
Right.
I mean, you used to be growing up back in the old days, you know, on Sunday afternoons, the family took a drive in a car, and it didn't have any place it was going. It was just a Sunday drive.
Right. And you'd learn things then that you never knew were there in the first place, like we were talking about.
Right. And or you'd have a conversation with mom and dad and sitting in the car there. It was that time.
Right. Now we're all cyborgs. I feel like an old man saying this stuff. I'm 26. But how many times do you get in a coffee shop now, right?
Right.
Coffee shops, you want to connect with people, learn about people.
People are sitting there with their phones.
Yeah, little cyborgs.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame.
Right? It is a shame.
And I think that is, you know, that's one of the things that I think about. Are we becoming a society that will not be able to communicate because we're so into our connectors here, the smartphones, et cetera?
Well, I think we can worry about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we individually make a pact, hey, we're still going to connect. We're connected now. I'm
Absolutely.
Enjoying this conversation,
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
So. That's all we can do, and hope to influence others.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree. But I think it is sad. And I think it's great that you've been able to put together this new company, Suitcase of Courage, helping out with, I mean, you've got a big contract with Fuji, and who knows where that will lead.
Correct.
I mean, before you got this contract, I understand you were going to go to Alaska and become a state trooper.
Right, something on the service side. Yeah, that was it.
We couldn't figure out why you wanted to go to Alaska. good things come out to those that go after them and show the potential. And I think that's one of the things that is exciting about what Cameron does. He shows the potential. How's your granddad doing?
Oh, he's doing well. He's a retired military, you know, so we took him out for Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. We took him up to D.C. He's upper 80s. Walk 6 miles, you know, talk about endurance and toughness. I think that's where I get a little of mine from, that inner drive. Hey, if it's got to be done, it's got to be done. No matter if it's work, life, athletic events, whatever.
Sure.
Get the job done.
You know, that is one thing that you can say about the military.
Right.
That is one thing that military veterans, people who have been in the military, come out with. They come up with that can-do, got-to-get-do attitude.
Right.
And I think we're missing some of that, don't you, Cameron?
I agree. And it's contagious as can be, you know? If you're around, they say you're a combination of your five closest friends, right?
Right.
I don't want to be around somebody that says you can't do that, right?
Right.
No, my parents growing up never said that. Go out there, put your mind to it. If you push the limits, you might find there's none at all.
And now they look back on that and they say, why did we tell Cameron that?
How's your
mom and dad doing?
They're doing well.
Yeah, I bet their
father's still with the Cancer Society and mother's career hospital, self-regional.
That's
so.
Right.
It's nice to be back in town and around. We've got to spend some good time together.
Sure. So. And then will you move for periods of time to different communities?
That's correct.
Yes.
I'll move up to North Carolina in January and take care of another Fujifilm plant there. But home base will always still be here, being that Fujifilm's largest campus is here.
Yeah. So. And then you go to, where do you go next?
Then Seattle, and then to San Francisco. To New York.
just around, a great trip. But the nice thing is you get to spend time there. It's not like you just fly in for a week or something, right?
And build a program that lasts. You know, we've got great branding. We call it Fujifilm Fit, Industrial Athletes. And it's about, yes, it improves Fujifilm's offerings, right? Mm-hmm. But it improves that employee's life. I look at Fujifilm, they've got almost 7,000 employees. That's 7,000 touches that I'm getting a chance to go out there and create that positive influence.
And that's for the next 3 years.
Right.
That's pretty awesome. That is awesome. You know, so as you're going on to the holidays, you got any big plans or anything?
Things come up here and there. I don't have anything set
in
stone. Every time I look at flights, you never know when I might jet away for a little bit. My passport's still in working order. I got to get a new one because it's about stamped out. I got like a half a page left.
You know, that'll really be something, though, to show your grandkids someday right. about all the things you did right. in your life oh. and to inspire them for the future to do things.
Yeah. We all have our different ways. As long as you're living life the way you want to live it, that's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, Cameron, what else can we talk about here as we're finishing up here this afternoon? What do you think are some of the things that people ought to go out and be doing for themselves in small steps? Since we now have a professional trainer right here on the radio with us, what should people be looking at? I mean, we got Thanksgiving next
right,
week.
Oh, right.
we're all going to overeat. We know it. Yes. Okay. What are we going to do?
Move.
Move?
Move.
Move where, Cameron?
There's no wrong answer, right?
Okay.
Move your body physically. It's the biggest tool you have, right? It's a use it or lose it principle. The older we get, right, mm-hmm. our body kind of eats away, muscle atrophy. If you're not moving, you're losing it, right? You know, if you eat bad foods, you're not going to feel that good, right?
Correct.
Remember, you're in control of everything, right? Okay. But to offset, yeah, go eat something big. But at the same time, what's going to hold you back from a big workout after it? That's my whole principle. Move, whatever it may be. If it's walking upstairs, it's getting on the floor, getting back up. Use your own body weight. That's all you need. And find a friend to help move with you. There's nothing like a little companionship.
Sure, absolutely. All right, so we've got that one. And one last question for you. What do you think about the diets we have for our kids on the school lunch program?
You know,
we've seen this, and it just seems to be we got kids battling back against the food issue. What do
right.
you think?
So there's healthy – depends on which level, number one, right? I think healthy food is good, right?
Right.
Growing up, I did not have healthy lunches. You know, I ate Hornet cake, hot dogs, this, that, and the other. How did I offset that? Like right. I said before, I moved.
Correct.
When you eat bad food right. and you play video games all day, right, you're going to grow larger.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So I think nutrition should be part of it, but at the same time, it should come from the family. Hey, let's go out and play basketball together, not let's play NBA 2K15 on PlayStation, right?
Well, one of the best stories I have about that, a few years ago, they were doing a study at the rec center here, and they were saying, the question was, how many of you, when it came back from school, from the summer vacation, how many of you played baseball this summer?
Right.
Tremendous amount. And they were like, wow, where are these kids playing? Until they found out, what were they doing?
No.
Playing with the little Game Boys. That's right. Hey, you know, you're listening to WCRS. Cameron Dorn, always a pleasure to have you on the radio with us.
Thank you, Ann.
And it's always a pleasure to get caught up about the amazing life of Cameron Dorn right here on WCRS. God bless you, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Take care.
All right. That'll do it. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning. Jimbo Hannon, 8:35. He'll be my radio partner in the morning. Bye-bye, everybody.